AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires. Your journey, our passion.
This is AutoLine After Hours with John McElroy, episode 315 for January 8th of 2016. Yumpin' Yimini, we're talking Scandinavian design. Watch AutoLine After Hours live at AutoLine.tv every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 p.m. Pacific or 20 hours GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for AutoLine in iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. Gary Vasilash, we find ourselves again doing yet another show.
Indeed.
A little bit different show this time.
Yeah, different venue.
Not in the studio.
Not the usual set.
Not the usual set.
Instead, we have a fantastic looking vehicle behind us.
And we've got Tisha Johnson, Senior Design Director at Volvo, to talk about the vehicle behind us and all kinds of other design things. So, Tisha, you have been working in Sweden. You've just come back to California because why? Volvo's got an advanced design studio here, right?
We have an advanced studio. It's called Volvo Monitoring and Concept Center. And we have a few disciplines that come together and then work, yes, on strategic advanced designs, as well as also involving ourselves with any of the early production, pre-production projects as well.
You've been working on interior design mostly. Are you still doing that, or is it evolving more?
Yes, my role has expanded a bit. I definitely am directing the interior activities at the studio, and I'm also leading the complete design at the studio. And we have now three legs to our design team, which is interior, exterior, which we have well-established history at the studio, and now we've added UI, user interface. So it's a very exciting time for us, yeah.
So how long had you been in Sweden?
I had been there about 4 years.
4 years, and so you came from California?
Yes. I started my career in 1999 and have spent most of my professional time at Volvo. Mm-hmm. Was away for a few years and then came back and had the good fortune of heading over to Sweden for the last 4 years.
This has got to be an exciting time at Volvo. I mean, the company was, I'm not going to say dead, but it didn't do much for a number of years after Ford sold it off. It's got to be real exciting to see what's coming now.
When we talk about it, we describe it as basically like a renaissance for the brand. And, I mean, it gives me goosebumps talking to you about it because you feel like this designer who's just known what it could be. And now here we are. So it's very exciting. And this, you know, the XC90, it just represents the beginning of essentially the next decade out in front of us. So you're seeing the DNA, and you're getting basically a glimpse into where we're headed. It's super exciting.
So when you develop the interior for the XC90, I mean, it seems as though you really took it to a next level in terms of the execution and the design, and we can see the Swedish furniture influences in there. Could you talk about what you did you know, in terms of materials
absolutely.
And styling?
Absolutely. And when when you say what I did, it's really important to note that this was developed in Sweden, and I had the good fortune of basically running shoulder to shoulder with the team that developed it. And but we, collectively at Volvo, really absolutely emphasized that next step. We always knew that we were going to really up our game. We were going to make the most Swedish statement we ever have. And we were enabled by an incredible platform. So as you know, SPA sets us up for success, really. So the architecture is there. And then we could, on the interior side, we could take a look at incorporating all new technology. And you remember with the concept cars, when we showed that touchscreen, people said, fantastic concept, of course. And I remember reading this in print many times, of course. We won't see that in production. And all the while we're thinking, so that then set us up to be able to have what we describe as a kind of a Scandinavian sanctuary, and then we could start to really move forward with the, you know, materials and the execution in terms of craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm. So did you benchmark other vehicle manufacturers, or did you guys just simply say, you know what, we're just going to do our very best?
Well, I think I would hope that any good car brand is looking at the world around them within their own industry and certainly outside of that, and really paying attention to what's happening with regard to trends, aesthetic influences, technologies, all of that stuff should come into play. And at the same time, I'm glad that you, you know, asked about this, because this is a defining moment for us. And so we said, now we are Swedish. Let's really focus on that and let that be our differentiating point.
So what are the cues of being Swedish? What do you put into the vehicle that says,
Oh my gosh, I love to talk about this. So thank you for asking. It's, you know, in Sweden, there is a natural aesthetic that is absolutely beautiful. And that aesthetic really comes from the culture and the setting, the natural world around them. So there's not a lot of people in Sweden. The population is low. It's around 10 million for the entire country. So you have lots of elbow room, and that shows up. When you walk into a Swedish home, what you see is space around you. Unlike an American home, where you will typically see on each wall, in each area, something, you know, up, what do we call it, tchotchkes, knickknacks. In Sweden, they will literally curate a room so that it might be just about that table with that vase, you know, and against that white wall. And this is not designers. This is just people. Mm-hmm. This is how they look at the world and how it shows up in their own choices. So we have already this kind of good essence that we can draw from. And so that becomes very important for us. And then the technology that we've put into our cars, that touchscreen, allowed us to take out all of these buttons and all of these things that really, I would say, kind of corrupt the environment. And so now we can get into this super clean space.
As a designer, how do you get that balance? Because we've seen other automakers do the same thing, clean out all the buttons, and the owners go crazy, you know, even with something as simple as just a volume knob for the audio system.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, it was an interesting experience, because you're making these decisions, you're making them, you know, years before they're going to be on the road. And even when you're making choices about, okay, who are we, whose technology are we going to incorporate and things like that. And you have to be pretty sure of yourself that you're making the right, because now you're going to make, this is ultimately this is a business decision that is going to affect how people experience our brand. And that was definitely gone about also in a very Swedish way, I have to say, which is to really choose wisely, think carefully, and then make that decision when it's really well informed.
You know, when you're describing the approach to the aesthetic in homes, it almost sounds minimalistic. But, I mean, I don't get a sense of stark minimalism in that car. I get a sense that you're expressing something about, you know, the authenticity of materials, whether it's metal or it's leather or it's wood. And there's a certain richness to it without being opulence.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, and I'm glad that you're seeing that. I usually describe it as essential, because I think minimalists can definitely start to evoke a different type of experience than you have in the car. But essential is really what you need to achieve whatever it is that you're trying to. And that, to me, is one of the hardest things to do. You can always add up a lot and, you know, end up with something that's quite active and noodly and but that's not what we would be about. So, yeah.
And the other thing is that it strikes me that there's a real sense of ergonomic execution in this vehicle.
Always, yeah.
And the seats that you guys crafted for this, I think, take it to a different place from what we've been familiar with, even in Volvos.
Yeah. And we of course benefited again from the SPA platform, from that architecture, which then really gave us a nice, you know, long wheelbase. But we also really put our time into designing a new seat. So that chassis for the seat itself is, you know, safety-wise, it's light years ahead. It's also a lighter weight seat. It's yet strong. And then as far as that crafting around it, again, you notice there's a little Swedish flag on there, and that's, you know, obviously by design. And we really spent some time making sure that that was a beautiful statement in the car.
I don't know. I don't know about you, John, but I mean, I look at that seat and it almost seems as though this could be in a living room. I mean, that somebody could have that. I mean, just taking it out of there and not a car seat as we are familiar with.
No, I would agree with that. In fact, it's inviting. It makes you say, even if you don't want to get in the car, it's like, oh, I want to just go sit in that seat.
Yeah.
And speaking of seats, you're doing some very interesting things with the right-hand front passenger seats. You've done that in China to give more backseat room for the Chinese customers, which we know love the backseats. And yeah. You're doing something here with the XC90 behind us. So take it from here, Tisha.
Absolutely. And this was a project that I was really fortunate enough to be working on. And what we started with was, of course, we had the XC90. And that's, you know, that's really seven comfortable seats, always making sure that that can really move people about and have plenty of space for all of those people. And then we said, what is the next thing we can do with this? So then we turned that into a four-seater, the XC90 Excellence, which is a production car. So that's a four-seater. And there we really kind of pulled out the stoppers and we said, okay, in a Swedish way, let's explore luxury. Let's expand on our statement around luxury. Then we said, come on, there has to be something else. And we've been looking at the Chinese market, and we understand that many people in China in the luxury segment will have drivers for their cars. So that means that back seat, that becomes the place. So normally, of course, we would definitely want to really protect that driver zone in terms of making that a really good statement. So we already have that kind of in the shelf, but that's good to go. So now we could really get that rear seat going. And one way was to give more real estate. And how could we do that? Well, we'd already slimmed up the seat. So the next obvious step, let's take the seat out. And then we had different modules, which I would call consoles, that plug in, use the existing seat rails. And those can be really based on, again, what we think the needs are for that market, listening carefully to the customer. So we have the child seat console that is behind you.
So you have a baby seat, so
yes.
You can have your child there.
Yeah, right.
And if you're sitting in the back seat, you're looking right at the
yes.
baby. And obviously, if you pull the right-hand passenger seat out, you got massive leg room back there. What are some of the other consoles that you've got?
We have one other console that we've shown, which is the Excellence Lounge console. That has a number of features. So it starts off, it looks like a footrest, but there's so much more because, in fact, of course, under the footrest, that actually folds up to give you some really good leg support. But then, of course, you have shoe stowage. Then a table, basically a hidden table, is revealed. That comes up, giving you a nice big table surface. This opens up. You have then a vanity with lit mirror. That rotates around and exposes a 17-inch screen. So you have entertainment.
It's like the James Bond license plate, like, you know, rotating.
So speaking of that, underneath all of that is a super nice security box, which is, you know, well shrouded, but lockable for that, you know, that kind of that more precious stuff that you might want to have.
Has any of this gone into production?
It's not production. These are concepts.
Okay. How have the Chinese reacted to this when they see the concepts?
Super well. Super well. You know, you always wonder when you do something that's kind of big like this, but it's really overwhelming, positive. When can we have it?
Would it work outside of China?
I mean, we're showing it here for a reason, right? It's evolved from our first market studies, with China. But we definitely, I don't know if you know, but we've certainly gotten a lot of talk and conversation, especially around the child seat here. So we see, certainly in the U.S. marketplace, you know.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about Sweden, you talk about the U.S. market, you talk about the China market.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, is it important today to have a identity? As you were saying, we wanted to be very Swedish, mm-hmm. rather than saying we want to be very global. Mm-hmm. Is identity important to what you guys are doing?
Yeah.
And do you think that's important as you sell cars around the world?
Absolutely. I mean, it really is as we were saying, it's really where we can distinguish ourselves. We are the only Swedish, you know, automotive brand. Certainly in Sweden, there is a certain level of kind of luxury that people get to experience daily that you don't other places. You know, when you're driving on the roads, we were talking about LA traffic, nothing like that there. When I was caught in traffic, it meant it took me 10 minutes to get to work instead of 9. Seriously, not kidding. So, so that's important. We are a global brand, of course, mm-hmm. and we certainly need to satisfy the needs of that global market. And we also need to make sure that our cars, are able to just work right. in those different markets. So, yeah.
But you don't want to homogenize the
level. No, yeah, that's right.
Hey, look, we got to take a break right now. We got a lot more to ask you, so we'll be back talking with Tisha Johnson. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. We're back talking with Tisha Johnson, Senior Design Director at Volvo, about all things Volvo and all things design. What I'd like to get into is Volvo, of course, on the XC90 has got this autopilot setting with the cruise control, where at speeds up to 30 miles an hour or so, hands-free. I mean, it's not just, you know, foot-free, it's hands-free. And, of course, that's a precursor to us getting to autonomous cars. And once you get to autonomy, wow, that really opens up what you can do with the interior. So I'm dying to ask, what are you thinking about that, Tisha?
Well, first let me back up and say that at Volvo, we definitely would like you to keep a hand on the steering wheel. It's not about driving that or turning the wheel, but, you know, This is a car that's moving down the road, and you should be attentive and aware. So we'll say that.
Okay.
Having said that, you're right. It's pretty. I think people don't realize how much semi-autonomy is in our cars and available to them. So, with adaptive cruise control, as you know, the car is able to brake and accelerate based on a given spatial relationship to the car in front of it. And the steering, and you've probably noticed that the car also, when you have both hands on the wheel, the car can help keep you in the lane and let you know when you're starting to wander. So all of that is there. And for us, we see it as rich in opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's imagine out 10, 15 years or so, Mercedes has already shown a fully autonomous concept where you turn the front seats around so the passengers are facing themselves. And once at some point down the road we get to full autonomy, are you thinking about what you can do with the interior of a car?
At Volvo, we are, what we know is that we help people drive with the driving experience. We help people in the car. With the architecture that we have of our automotive envelope. So certainly we are thinking about the future and we're thinking about these possibilities, and I wouldn't want to remark on future endeavors.
Oh yeah, I'm not trying to.
So it seems to me that if we look at what you're doing with the right seat and right front seat,
right.
by as you were describing the experience that someone would have in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that there are a number of things you could do there. So if you think really about autonomous driving as, say, as a passenger, you suddenly have more opportunities to do more things. So do you see this as being a precursor to what you could be doing?
Yeah, this is, I think, a great example of, you start to see how if you're not busy with the activities of driving, you certainly start to think about what then are you focusing on in the space, and what then rises up and becomes important to you. And certainly when you are not driving, that is a luxury in and of itself, and why we've explored that. So, yeah.
So is it conceivable that, you're talking about how when you laid out the IP for this car, that you focused on having the screen so you could eliminate much of the busyness that sometimes can be set up in these vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a direction that you'll be continuing to go to by minimalizing that sort of... and the interface for the driver would be a different thing than we're used to?
Yeah, super good question. So what I was getting at earlier is that the XC90 is really our DNA. You're seeing our DNA. And so, of course, you would expect to see that thinking, you know, played out, explored further as we move into different products. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the beauty of that technology, is that we can really keep things super clean, mm-hmm. and not busy with a lot of stuff, and allow people to then, you know, drive, enjoy the environment within the car. So, yeah.
What I like about the XC90 too is that little simple things really make a car stand out from others. So just the way the gear shift knob operates is different than any other car. And then the upscale one, you put a little bit of Swedish crystal in there too.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that. How do you conceptualize, geez, let's make the gear shift lever work differently than anybody else does, and let's throw a little bit of Scandinavia on top of that.
Yeah. I'm so impressed with our team that really spearheaded that. It was an idea that was really based, of course, on ease of use, but then also we wanted to again make that stronger statement about Swedish design. And so the team had been looking at, you know, then what are these certain things that are iconic within Swedish design, and one of them is Swedish glass and crystal. So we had the big idea of bringing crystal into the car, which, as you know, in an automotive environment, that's going to require a lot of rigorous testing and a lot of challenges put back to that idea to make sure that it could really work. And so I'm very proud that we were able to achieve it.
Now, when I told my wife there was Orpheus crystal as the shift knob, she was like all over this car. And I'm like, thanks a lot, Tisha.
I mean, it's really, again, the team really, I would say, pushed the envelope there with phenomenal results. You know, and you know there's a little lighting in there so that you're able to really see that crystal. It's really nice.
Now, Volvo is going to be doing more electric vehicles going forward. I mean, this has been announced, so this is no secret. Does that change the design aesthetic at all, or from the point of view of the interior, do you just simply say an interior is an interior, whether there's a gasoline engine or
a
hybrid engine?
That's a super good question, and I would say there it's something that's, that we think about, of course. You know, on one hand, you can see how, I would say, certainly earlier in electric technology, things needed to almost be kind of like quirky and funky in order to identify, oh, this is an electric car. And then there was kind of this pushback, right? Well, that's not important. You know, good proportions, we all know what those are. Let's make a car beautiful and then get the technology in. And you can certainly see that makes a lot of sense. And, of course, there's also, you know, signature things that you can explore and show off. On the interior, that is definitely something that we think about, we're thinking about. Now, with the XC90, of course, and with Spa, we started from the ground up. So we said, let's not lose one of the key elements to the XC90, which is that 3-row, 7-seat configuration. So on the interior there, because we started the platform or started the work knowing we were going to have that battery pack, we made sure that we were able to hold on to that. We're the only manufacturer that's done that, actually. So it's I would call it a balanced thing. Mm-hmm. And certainly in design, it's really fun to think about how you can use that technology to leverage something in a design statement. Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to look like Jetsons or...
Not tomorrow. But you know what I say. I can't comment on future.
That's
product.
True. That's true.
Yeah. But to Gary's point, your thinking now is the interior should just be an interior, not necessarily reflect that it's an electric car or some other sort of energy car.
Well, what I'm saying is I think that we think about this. And, mm-hmm. and I think it depends. It always will depend on what is right for the customer experience. Yeah.
It's interesting, too, hearing you talk all about this Scandinavian or specifically Swedish aesthetic, because automakers, you know, try to figure out all over the world what our customer needs and wants. And it would see, and of course, Volvo is going to do that. But it also seems that it's thinking, yes, but we're going to be Scandinavian. Mm-hmm. And so either you're going to like our Scandinavian design or go shop somewhere else.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You know, I mean, we do. Our feeling is, and I'm so happy that we have this clarity with our brand, because I think people are now starting to feel more clear about the brand again, right? It's always been safety. That's always been clear. And then there was this number of years where it was like, I don't know exactly what a Volvo is, except I do know it's safe. But other than that, I'm not sure, right? And now people know. They're beginning to say again, that's a beautiful car. That's definitely a European car. And Americans who don't always have the best global awareness know that this is a Swedish car. That's pretty exciting for us. And so, yes, where we are saying, let's make sure that this is Swedish, those customers will show up. And those customers who don't know what that is yet will be interested in this because it is distinct.
But, you know, Scandinavia is a great brand image to have, right? You know, especially Sweden. I think it resonates anywhere around the world.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, the German aesthetic is well established. It's very engineering driven, you know, and Teutonic, really. You know, you look at, say, the British, you know, it's all, you know, leather and wood and that sort of thing. And so I've got to believe that it's great not just to say that, hey, we're Volvo and we're safe and we've got all this great technology, but we're also Swedish.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to your point, with the little Swedish flag sewn into the seat.
Yeah, absolutely. You see it in our palette of materials, you know, these natural woods, which you also find in Swedish homes, and just the choices that we're making on the aesthetic, definitely showing that off.
Are there any environmental issues that you think about in terms of executing the interior of your vehicles?
It is, of course. I definitely would field deeper questions on that to our color materials experts, but it is something that is really incorporated into our development process. We really want to have materials that are safe for people to be interacting with and leverage processes that are better for the environment, for sure. Especially because, I mean, again, in Sweden, you have a beautifully uncorrupted environment, and Swedish people do a lot to make sure that their environment remains robust and healthy, and so that thinking is just naturally transferred into our process.
So you're not going to have wood trim from Africa, Asia, or something? Will it always be Swedish?
Yeah, well, we definitely are wanting to use local, source things locally as much as we can. And of course, again, it's a global product, and so depending on market and all of that, but we definitely are always looking for that Swedish solution.
Mm-hmm. So now that you're back in the United States after this four-year period in Sweden, so what's your sense of the transportation infrastructure here compared to Sweden?
Ah, the infrastructure. Wow. Yeah.
What infrastructure, right? is kind of the question.
Yeah, it's so amazing because in Sweden it was like, oh, I want to get over into town. I can drive my car. I can take the bus. I can take a tram. I can take a ferry. All of those things will get me into the center of town within, you know, 20 minutes max in a nice, beautifully well-kept, transportation system. So that is, you know, you see that you become much more aware of how it is not, definitely not in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And you can also see kind of what is broken with regard to transportation here. So it's something that must be addressed by all of us in the automotive industry and not, you know.
So what's the role of designers in that?
Definitely doing our research on understanding where the problems are and then how we can, knowing that we're a car manufacturer, so the designers at Volvo are definitely, that's our filter. We do make cars. So then how can we help in that process? It's not to be answered in, you know, a couple minutes here.
See, I want to see you work on some of those trams and buses and subways, at least in the U.S., so they look appealing. You know, I want those, the kind of seats that you have an XC90 in a bus, so people go, I want to ride the bus.
Super cool. You know what's really cool is on this concept, we definitely looked at business class, you know, air travel as a source of inspiration. You were talking about different types of inspiration. And we just found out that Airbus designers are looking at this as a source of inspiration.
You gotta
love it. And I was like, oh, we hit the mark. That's great. So that was really cool.
That's great. Look, Tisha, I know you're busy. We really appreciate your time. You're coming on Out of Line After Hours with me and Gary. So thanks so much for taking the time. It's been brilliant talking with you today.
It's great to talk with you, so thank you.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, we're not going to do the show next week. Right. We're doing the Out of Line Supplier Symposium at the Detroit Auto Show. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So let's do it again then.
All right.
Okay, cool. Thanks again, Tisha. It's been great having you. I want to thank all of you who have been tuned in.
Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live. Get your daily news fix with Autoline Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline This Week. There is all that and much more at autoline.tv.